Yo, yo, check this out.
This out.
Previously heard.
Previously heard. Good Hope FM.
Let's go.
It's about that time. Chad, Simon, you're with you just after 20 to 7. It is Simon Says on Good Hope FM, Cape Town's regional. Now, we are speaking to a Cape Town regional, a man that I know for a long time. I'm going to go through some of his credentials, how I would describe him. But I'll start firstly as a great human being, someone who I see as someone who affects and touches culture, a B-boy, DJ, movement specialist, physio. Welcome to the show, Barry Bongard.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Did you enjoy that intro?
We should
bump into each other more often.
Listen,
so I think, I generally don't start interviews at the beginning, but today I think it's the kind of thing where I would like to start. Let's go into the time where you started getting into DJing first, because that's how you entered the hip-hop kind of fraternity, right? Late 90s, just before?
99?
Yeah,
99 I started DJing, but it wasn't quite in the hip-hop genre. It was actually an electronic music show that I used to host at UCT Radio. And drum and bass, breakbeat, jungle, that was my vibe back then.
You've always been quite a progressive being. I mean, I remember meeting you probably in the 2000s, and I remember you had long dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And then I think at some point I had long dreadlocks. I mean, I'm not going to say I followed suit, but I mean, it worked for you. But I think you've always been a progressive being. Is it in your nature to be curious and want to know what the next thing is, or figure out what's going on?
I think I've always, from young, wanted to carve my own path, you know, stand out, if it was ego at the time that was driving me. But often just like, looking for an avenue, whether it was a sport. I mean, I was looking for alternatives to football and athletics and tennis.
And what were they, if you don't mind me asking? What were the alternative sports?
Was surfing.
Okay.
So surfing, and then when I got to varsity, I was just like, well, I've played my sport, I've enjoyed it, I've loved it, still love the games like football, still love running, but I wanted something more. And in that late 90s era, B-boys and B-girls were starting to feature in music videos again.
Yeah.
Like Madonna had a couple in hers.
Missy Elliott.
Yeah, Missy was notorious for featuring dancers. And that's when I just thought, well, I'm at varsity. There's nothing. I almost felt like the box and the constraints were off me since I was out of school. And that's when I started to grow the dreads. Okay. That's when I started to break. That's when I started to DJ. And then actually just finding my creative side, you know, because everything at school had been very academic, sport had been very, down the line, and this was now me exploring wider, further, deeper.
I love that. Yeah. And while you're doing that, you then go study physiotherapy.
Yes.
I wanted to do that at some point in my life, but it didn't pan out.
All right.
Yeah, but I've been to your practice.
Yes, you have.
I've limped in.
And walked out. And you'll never walk alone.
I will.
I'll just drop that in there.
Listen, for me, I think it's so important that people understand the journey, because there's certain things that on one side of your brain and there are other things that are on the other. And I think the lesson to anyone listening who's kind of in a space where they're coming up and trying to figure things out is you can do a bit of both.
Yes, for sure.
We get taught you need to either be this or that.
I think, you know, there is a lot of pressure to secure yourself financially.
Yeah.
And in this economy, in this world system, you do need to do that. But however you do that, and I respect you for that, because of your grind that you put in as a musician, where many might have said, why don't you go and study this, Chad, and then sing on the weekends, or, you know, leave that singing stuff for idols, or, you know, yet you went on, started a label.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm interviewing you now.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. No one asks me questions anymore.
Yeah, so it is a thing about balance.
Yeah.
Like, I look at the desk, and I always have spoken to the young B-boys, and others about life in balance, and the faders on the desk, is that you need to know when to push up which faders and when to bring down others to keep things in balance. Certain ones need to be up all the time, family.
Yeah.
And you know, secure yourself financially where you can, but play around with the others, and that's how you find the balance.
That is a great lesson. we're chatting to Barry Baumgart right now. That is a beautiful lesson. And I think, you know, I think you're such a well-rounded individual that for us to chat about all the things you do in depth is very difficult. But I do want to touch on most of them. Let's talk about the high-performance artist lifestyle. And obviously, you developed that kind of thinking behind it. And obviously, you have the know-how physically in terms of physiotherapy and movement. And then you know the other side, which is actually performance.
Yeah.
So how did that come about and how do you implement it?
So in developing as a breaker, break dance, that if you're not familiar with the term, I saw that as a physiotherapist with the exposure to all the information in the sports science realm, there was a lot of knowledge that was passed on in other sports. You know, coaches get to know about this, team managers get to know about this, athletes get to know about this. But dance seemed to only be stuck in doing things that they traditionally did for hundreds of years, whether it's classical dance or in street dance, even more so because there's no rules, there's no royal school of breaking in hip hop. You know, so there was no curriculum, yet the performance demands was as high for a ballet dancer or for a hip-hop dancer or for a b-boy or b-girl
higher sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's debatable. I just saw that there was a need for a bridge between sports science, which was my professional realm, and the dance world, and that's where the high-performance artist came about.
Love that.
And the theory and the practical workshops that I have led have been all about that, and the content I try to produce, and the methodology for training in breaking in particular. And it's led me to host a few workshops internationally as well.
Incredible.
At dance festivals. So yeah, it's that to see my professional world with my artistic world combined.
I mean, I think it's a very rare percentage or a rare group of people who can combine those two things in that way. And I think to identify that, it feels like it's a part of your journey and your path. That like it's just kind of like preordained, meant to be. It feels a so
calling.
Natural for you. Yeah, like your calling. That's the word I'm looking for.
And I think I would not have maybe gotten to taste it if I didn't persist and wasn't consistent.
And you didn't try.
Yeah, exactly.
Because sometimes we get an idea. Yeah. Like, oh, like, what if I try radio because I'm a musician? Like, nah. You know, like, he was like, no, I don't think so. But then sometimes you just have to throw yourself in and try the thing. And I think for me, how you've managed to continue to upskill is so important for the journey within the space. I know you are now qualified as at an Olympic level to judge, right?
Yeah. As an Olympic level breaking judge.
That is ink. I mean, I want to find some applause. Let's get some applause for that. I don't know if you can hear that. Some applause.
Thank you.
Yeah, the people are clapping, man. That's amazing.
So
how did that come about?
Breaking's going to debut in the 2024 Olympics in Paris.
Yes.
Yeah? And as a result of breaking being introduced there, there's been a call to formalize breaking as a sport. And in order to do that, they needed to create a judging system and then a method of certifying judges. And so in that first batch of judges who were trained and certified, myself and two other South Africans, actually, V, you might know.
Of course.
Alvina V.
Yes.
De Silva.
Yes.
And
I know V for
homie,
many years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other homie, Eugene Dennis, who is based in the UK. So we are the three South African Trivium certified judges.
Amazing.
And it's
excited?
Super exciting
yeah.
because firstly the dream of breaking in the Olympics, and then also either to go as a judge or at least to see our South Africans qualified to be there would be incredible.
That's incredible stuff. We're chatting to Barry Baumgart in studio, coming to you from the SABC studios in Sea Point. And I said I'm going to play a song before we continue the conversation, and I'm going to see if he likes this one. Are you ready for this one?
Oh yes.
Let's go.
Uh-huh. One of my favorites to drop at the jam, Ice Cube.
I did okay.
Uh-huh.
This one's Ice Cube, You Can Do It, a chat time here with you. It's a great message, I think. Barry Baumgart in the studio. We're getting to catch up. We're talking about a whole host of things and the impact he's made within the community, within the culture, within the hip-hop sphere, and continuing to do that. I spoke to someone today who knows both of us, and I said, no, Barry's on the show later. And this person said, it is incredible how he can still move the way he moves. And I mean, we're not giving away any numbers here. It's incredible that he can move the way that he moves at his age. And it's a big it's a compliment. And then they went on to say the way you understand your body and you've taken care of your body. I don't know if there's anyone who you can say is doing the same thing that I know, at least.
Yeah, I don't know if that's important.
Yeah,
no, let's, but
it's not.
Yeah,
it's not. But you are. You're doing it.
I'm glad to do it. I'm blessed to do it.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful for my genetics from my parents and then for lots of good fortune and blessing of an injury-free life.
Yeah.
And I hope to also, if I'm going to stand on the other side of a room and tell clients that they need to do some things, some homework, I need to be prepared to do it myself. And that's another sort of life lesson is I don't expect anything of anyone else other than what I would be prepared to do myself.
I love that. That's a great, I think it's a great way to approach anything. But let's talk about the family. How important is the home base?
Yeah.
How important, I mean, you do a lot of things, which means there's a lot of time where you're outside of the house, but you also, you have to make time. How important is that home base?
Yeah, it's like my core.
Yeah.
That's my home is my core, and my wife Giselle and daughter Maddie.
Hello Giselle. Hello Maddie.
they are everything for me. So, I think we've got a great understanding within the family. We know we've all got our interests, and we allow ourselves to indulge our interests and our passions, and that's what keeps our flames burning. But toward each other, we make a brighter light. So
I love that.
Yeah. So. I don't know what more I can say, but we are at peace at home.
And I think that's such a beautiful thing, because everyone always thinks we need to be on fire. We need to be, there's a sense of I think, and I may have been guilty of this when I was growing up, you think to be busy.
Mm.
Remember when they say, no, busy is good.
Mm.
It's not always accurate, right?
Yeah.
Because to be busy does not always equate success.
Yeah.
It's not a measure for success, being busy.
For more, tune in to goodhopefm.co.za.
It's all you need.